And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Jim, I'm pretty sure we've got crazy, crazy, and crazy martinis again for our listeners. It's just shaping up to be that kind of week, I guess.
I think we should go for it, Greg. I think we should aim for an all-crazy week. So far, reality is playing ball with us. They're eager to comply, and so we will see if at any point during the week we have news that we can say is indisputably good news or bad news. But for now, it just seems like everything fits into that murky, crazy. We're not even sure what to make of this area.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, you've got a lot of Trump news. You got Jill Stein. Biden's in the news today that we'll be talking about. That's just a recipe for crazy. So we should tell you at the outset here that we're sponsored today by Simply Safe Home Security. Protect your home the smart way without those expensive long-term contracts using Simply Safe Home Security. Visit simplysafe.com/ricochet. That's spelled SimpliSafe.com/ricochet. And we've got a great deal for you from Simply Safe later in the program. So, Jim, crazy martini number one. And sadly, we have to go to Rush Limbaugh for this one. Rush has been on the record already this year for basically saying that Trump is not a small government guy, which is true. The problem here is that Rush seems to be okay with this. And now we're talking about the Trump infrastructure stimulus bill. Remind us if that sounds like something familiar that we heard about 8 years ago. And here's what Rush had to say. I believe this was on Monday. There hasn't been any upgrading. He's talking about Obama's 2009 stimulus. There hasn't been any modernizing whatsoever, because that's not where Obama put the money. Now, if Trump actually follows through on this $1 trillion to modernize airports, you're going to have conservative arguments against it, claiming that this is not how it works. This is still federal spending. It's still budget busting. It's still massively expanding the government. However, there will be tangible results that will result in improved and modernized airports, which will make them more economically booming, which they will be able to attract more traffic, more landings and takeoffs, which include fees, more cargo being moved back and forth through them. It's going to be an interesting philosophical argument, the idea of conservatism and smaller government, less government, dot, dot, dot. FDR doing all this stuff gave the Democrat Party a 50-year guaranteed majority. Well, that was his dream. It didn't actually work out to 50 years, but he made the Democrat Party a majority party. Remember, Trump's not a conservative. So small government, less government, that's not how he sees things. And I've tried to tell people this from the beginning of the campaign. So, Jim, anytime you're comparing somebody's approach to the size of government with FDR, we're off on a really, really bad foot here.
Yeah, if you'd say, let's get a time machine, Greg, and go back to Rush listeners in. He began during the tail end of George H.W. Bush's administration. But we could, you know, go back to the 90s, go back to the Bush years, and tell Rush listeners that in 2016 there'll be a Republican president. And Rush Limbaugh was like, don't worry, he's going to spend money like FDR. you know, and just watch the listeners go, huh? Wait, what? My nagging fear, Greg, is that we're going to basically reenact the entire 2009 short-lived debate over the stimulus. But with both parties having reversed themselves. the fun part will be watching Democrats say, no, you can't spend all this money. What about the deficit? What about the debt? How are you going to pay for all this? You know, stealing all of our lines from back then. I can't necessarily blame Trump. I think it's fair to say, as you said, he's never been a small government conservative, never been interested in limiting spending. But the really weird thing is watching so many self-professed conservatives buy onto this. And, you know, is there such a thing as good infrastructure spending? Sure. I have, you know, been arguing that I think Interstate 95 needs at least one more lane in each direction. and it's not just because of my, you know, holiday commutes and vacation travels. You know, there are certain choke points at which everything slows down and it would make sense to expand the roads and get more travel. Having said that, what I worry about here is seeing Rush make the look, this is going to pay for itself argument, which is how every bit of public infrastructure spending gets explained away or justified. You can look back and find people who are insisting that stadium construction for football teams and arenas and stuff like, oh, it's going to pay for itself. It's going to pay for itself. And it very rarely pays for itself. Certainly infrastructure spending is necessary in some ways. And I think you could probably look at this on a project by project basis. But to see, you know, we just elected a Republican president and his first order of business is going to be a $1 trillion infrastructure spending bill. You know, the Republicans clearly won in 2016. It really remains to be seen whether the conservatives did.
Yeah, the big concern here for me, and obviously this is a concern we've had on other issues as well, is whether when it comes to Republicans and even some conservatives, the greater idea is continuing to win or the mm-hmm. greater idea is to advance conservative small government principles. Obviously, you can't advance them if you don't win. But at the same time, once you get the power, if you just abandon them and go mealy-mouthed on this and who knows what else, what did you invest all that for?
Yeah, look, it's worth noting there's a new poll out today that says Trump's carrier deal is very popular. People say his tax plan is very popular. Look, a lot of Trump's ideas are very popular. Arguing things like, hey, what about the deficit? What about the debt? Hey, entitlements are unaffordable and we got to reform them. These are never popular. And I think kind of one of this nagging feeling that after losing a couple elections that Republicans felt like they should have won, emphasizing those messages, the Republicans have decided, you know what, we're out of that business anymore. We're not worrying about those things anymore. The voters have told us not to worry about it. No one will really be arguing for lower spending. No one will really be arguing for smaller government. No one will really be arguing for making the tough changes to entitlement reforms until the crisis hits. And that's where we are. And that's actually – so yeah, Republicans have won, but what have they really actually won in that scenario?
Yeah, good question. And we'll find out. They've got the levers of power starting in January. Let's see how they use them. As you said, there are some very encouraging things that are out there, like the tax plan and some other things. But when it comes to spending, this has been an issue that got the Republicans in a lot of trouble the last time they held all the levers in Washington. We'll see if they've learned anything. All right, on to the second crazy martini now, Jim. And they are literally still counting the votes in some states. Why? We really don't have a good answer, but Jill Stein's involved, so of course we don't have a good answer. But that doesn't change the fact that we're already talking about 2020, and the media can't get there soon enough, of course, because they're just horrified by what happened in 2016. Yesterday, Vice President Joe Biden was up on Capitol Hill presiding over the Senate because there was legislation related to cancer, and that, of course, is near and dear to his heart after the horrific death of his son, Beau, last year. But after coming off the floor following that vote, he was cornered by a number of reporters, and he apparently brought up the issue of running 4 years from now. Here's Kelly O'Donnell reporting on what happened to Chris Matthews on MSNBC.
He said, I love this place, referring to public life. And there was a question, are you going to run again? He said, yeah, I am. I am going to run in 2020. For what, the question? For president. And also, you know, what the hell, man? Anyway, that sounds like Biden, doesn't it? And yeah. I said to him, Mr. Vice President, we're going to run with that if you drop something like that. He said, okay, go ahead. Circled back around again. Mr. Vice President, were you kidding? And his answer was this. First of all, he paused for four long seconds as he thought about what he was going to say. I'm not committing to not running. I'm not committing to anything. I learned a long time ago, fate has a strange way of intervening.
Jim, he paused for 4 seconds, not three, not five, but 4 seconds. Joe Biden will be 78 years old in 2020. So do you think this is about the media just can't get enough of the horse race? Do you think it's about the fact that they love Joe Biden? Or do you think it's the fact that they're just waiting for the day they can hopefully get rid of Trump from their perspective?
Well, I think all three, Greg. I also would say, isn't it really just a great stroke of luck? She had a stopwatch there. just get that precise on the pause. Look, you know, undoubtedly, Joe Biden has made us laugh time and time again, sometimes intentionally, with his quirks and his odd behavior and his, you know, wild facial expressions and things like that. I may write about this today. I think it's really a bad sign for Democrats that Biden says, eh, maybe I haven't decided anything. And there's this burst of excitement. There's, we could get Biden again. You mentioned the age issue. You mentioned the fact that this guy basically had the nomination. If not gift wrapped, I mean, if he jumped in, would Hillary have fought him for it? Sure. But I think most people would say that, particularly if it had an Obama endorsement, that Joe Biden had a really good chance of being the Democratic nominee. And I don't think it's wild or outrageous to say that he would have been a stronger nominee than Hillary Clinton. Obviously wouldn't have had the entire private server email scandal issue, wouldn't have had the long history of scandals and going back to the Clinton administration the way Hillary did. And I don't think it's outrageous to say that Joe Biden is just a more likable and charming guy than Hillary Clinton is. At no point has anyone ever compared – Joe Biden's been compared to a lot of things, but he's never been compared to an East German border guard, as was Hillary Clinton. So you kind of have this sense of this is a missed opportunity. He's probably kicking himself. On the other hand, you know, Greg, how many people who ran in 1988 are still in the discussion for 2020? I mean, you've been around a long time, Joe Biden. And I think, you know, a lot of Americans wanted to see him go off and enjoy a happy retirement. I think he and Jill Biden have earned it. If he does, it really does create this impression that the Democratic Party is one without a rising crop of stars, that has no fresh talent. The farm teams are depleted. There is nobody coming up in the pipeline who you could see as a potential president. That should be a real point of concern for them. The crazy part for us is just, oh my God, could you imagine not just talking about Biden 4 years from now, but theoretically talking about Biden 8 years from now or 12 years from now, Greg?
I'd rather not think about that, honestly. But wow. Yeah, you're right. There's not much of a bench. It's almost like they've lost a ton of seats in the House and the Senate and governorships. It's almost like they don't have a bench left. It's hard to imagine.
Almost like that. Those midterms mattered.
Oh, yeah. Maybe the Julian Castro pipe dream will come back in 4 years. Who knows? But
I'm looking at my milk carton right now, Greg, and I hope they find him because he's been missing ever since he went to the Department of Housing and Urban Development.
Yeah, that's
an unfortunate fate for poor Ben Carson. No one will ever hear from him again once he's there.
Well, if anybody thought they had a lock on the Democratic nomination, it's going to be a little bit of a waiting game for Joe Biden now. Perhaps your home can have better security. Are you traveling for the holidays, having family over, maybe a quiet day in? However you plan to celebrate, take our advice. Protect your family and home first. Right now, our friends at Simply Safe Home Security are having a massive holiday sale. Take $200 off. $200. The Simply Safe Defender Security Package. It's Simply Safe's biggest deal ever.
You must check out this alarm system. It has everything to protect your home. 17 high-tech wireless sensors, police dispatch and alarm monitoring. There's a blaring siren, a panic button. And of course, the award-winning around-the-clock protection is just $15 a month, three times less than the other guys. And there's no long-term contract, no installation cost, and no hidden fees.
Around the holidays, there's always a rise in burglaries. The crime rates just show that. So make sure that your home stays safe. Save $200 right now at simplysafe.com/ricochet. That's spelled SimpliSafe.com/ricochet. Once more, simplysafe.com/ricochet and save $200. Jim, on to our third crazy martini for the day, and this comes to us from the opinion pages of the New York Times. A guy by the name of Christopher Suprun, I think I'm saying that right. I don't really know for sure if I am, but he has announced that he is going to be a faithless elector. Quote, "I am a Republican presidential elector, one of the 538 people asked to officially choose the president of the United States. Since the election, people have asked me to change my vote based on policy disagreements with Donald J. Trump. In some cases, they cite the popular vote difference. I do not think president-elects should be disqualified for policy disagreements. I do not think they should be disqualified because they won the Electoral College instead of the popular vote. However, now I am asked to cast a vote on December 19th for someone who shows daily he is not qualified for the office." This guy is actually a responder from September 11th as a firefighter back in New York City. And he says that he just doesn't believe that Trump has the temperament for this. Quote, "The United States was set up as a republic. Alexander Hamilton provided a blueprint for states' votes. Federalist 68 argued that an electoral college should determine if candidates are qualified, not engaged in demagogy, and independent from foreign influence. Mr. Trump shows us again and again that he does not meet these standards. Given his own public statements, it isn't clear how the electoral college can ignore these issues, and so it should reject him." He is obviously saying he is not going to vote for Hillary Clinton either. He's suggesting a qualified man or woman such as John Kasich of Ohio, but he's not planning to vote for Trump on December 19th at the Electoral College. And, of course, the media is now beating the drum trying to find others who might be going down this same line. So, Jim, assuming that the recounts don't miraculously turn out, and I use that in quotation marks, for Jill Stein and Hillary Clinton, one guy's not going to make a huge difference. They have to find 37 faithless electors here. But it's fun how the media is turning this guy into a superhero.
Yeah. By the way, I also noticed we haven't heard anything about the Native American guy up in Washington State who was debating not voting for Hillary. I understand last he checked, he said he was going to think about it, and no one has checked in with him since then. I find myself like really frustrated by these people because it's not like what's expected of them suddenly changed overnight. Right. It just, you know, it just it, it it seemed rather, wait, you might have to vote. I might have to vote for Trump. Wait, what happened? What, you know, these people really seem blindsided by the one basic duty that they face as an elector. Like, it's not like you have a lot of other, you know, I took the job for all the perks. Like, I don't even think they get like free, you know, gas money to get to the state capitol or anything like that. I'm not sure what the purpose of this is. So that, you know, it just comes across to me as, a bit of a whining, a bit of attention seeking, a bit of look at me, aren't I special? All the things I can't stand. You know, the guy was a firefighter on 9/11, so God bless him for the service and everything he's done there. But Greg, are we sure this guy's not a millennial? Or he may have, you know, he may be millennial curious, shall we say? You know, I can't get what the point. You know, because basically what you're saying is I have such high regard for myself and what I stand for, and I believe that my personal feelings about this are so important that I simply have to break my word. I have to do what I have to not keep my promise. And not only that, I have to issue a press release about that. Everyone in the world has to notice me and pat me on the back for this. And I'm sure I'll get criticism and boos and people love that. And this just makes me a martyr. This just makes me, let me put myself up on my cross. I have done this to stop the Republican nominee for president, who's going to become the president no matter what I do. But in the meantime, I'll probably get some, you know, Profiles in Courage award.
Yeah, well, he cites Federalist 68, so that leads me to believe he might not actually be a millennial, because he's, first of all, aware that the Federalist Papers exist, and it's mildly relevant to the discussion here, obviously. The other thing is here, the media is, of course, loving this guy. The New York Times is publishing him. All the liberal outlets are going to pump up the story and go on the hunt for others and possibly pressure others to do this. Jim, if you remember the Texas primary, when I believe the electors were elected, chances are this guy's a Ted Cruz guy. Because Ted Cruz did very, very well on Texas primary day. And I'm guessing most of the Ted Cruz electors, since in a lot of states it says on the ballot who they'd be an elector for and who they're endorsing and so forth. So it's kind of delicious here that you've got the New York Times and a lot of people in the liberal media loving on a guy who's probably a diehard Cruz guy.
Could Cruz call this guy up? I thank you for your support. You've been really helpful to me, but you got a job to do. It's not going to help anybody. I guess I don't see the point of all this. And people might say, what's the difference between that and you being never Trump, Jim? Well, because the only thing I'm controlling is my vote and what I write and what I say and the little voice that I have in our public debate. And if everyone chooses to ignore me, that's fine. That's their right. But he signed up for this, right? He signed a deal. You know, I will be a Republican elector and I will vote for the Republican nominee. And late in the game, he's like, it suddenly dawned on him that he can't vote for Trump. What did Trump? If anything, I think Trump's been a little better since winning the election. This is the good Trump. This is the calmer Trump. How high a bar can you set? So anyway, deeply frustrating. We'll see if he joins up with the Native American guy. They form some sort of buddy cop movie of faithless electors or something.
I think maybe General Mattis would be better at making the call than Ted Cruz.
Get your rear in gear. Yes, there you go.
I'm pleading with you with tears in my eyes.
I think the new phrase for like, I'm really fed up with you, but I don't want to lash out and I don't want to lose my temper is I'm pleading with you with tears in my eyes.
Don't mess with me or I'll kill you. Good, good. We need that humor. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And remember to check out our friends at Simply Safe Home Security and get $200 off your home security system there. SimplySafe.com/ricochet. SimpliSafe.com/ricochet. And join us on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.